नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोकैर्भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 70, entitled Lord Krishna's Daily Activities, text number 41.
यक्ष्याति त्वं
मकेन्द्रेण
राजसूयेन पण्डवः परमेष्ट्य कामो नृपतिः तद्भवान् अनुमोदितम्। यक्ष्याति त्वं
मकेन्द्रेण
राजसूयेन पण्डवः
परमेष्ट्य
कामो नृपतिः तद्भवन् अनुमोदितम्।
Yasyasti, he will perform sacrifice. Tvam, unto you, maka, of fire sacrifice. Indrena, be the greatest. Rajasuyena, known as Rajasuya. Pandavaha, the son of Pandu. Parameshtya,
uncontested dominion.
Kamaha,
desiring.
Nripati, the king. Tat,
that.
Bhavan,
you.
Anumodatam,
his
sanction. Translation purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Desiring unrivaled sovereignty, King Yudhisthira intends to worship you with the greatest fire sacrifice, the Rajasuya. Please bless his endeavor. King Yudhisthira is described here as Parameshtya Kama, or desiring Parameshtya, uncontested dominion. That's what it means, Parameshtya, uncontested dominion. The word Parameshtya means unrivaled supremacy, and also indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who stands at the very height of all existence. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada translates Narada's message as follows. You have inquired about your cousins, the Pandavas, and the role of their well-wisher, and therefore, I shall let you know about their intentions. Now, please hear me. First of all, may I inform you that King Yudhisthira has all material opulences that are possible to achieve in the highest planetary system, Brahmaloka. He has no material opulence for which to aspire, yet he wants to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice only to get your association and to please you. He wants to worship you in order to achieve your causeless mercy, and I beg to request you to fulfill his desires. Since the word Parameshtya may also indicate the position of Lord Brahma, the term Parameshtya Kama is taken here by Srila Prabhupada to indicate not only that King Yudhisthira desired Lord Krishna's association and mercy, but also that King Yudhisthira himself possessed Parameshtya, all the opulences of Lord Brahma. I'll read a couple of verses more. That's okay. It's a real small translation. Text 42. O Lord, exalted demigods and glorious kings, eager to see you, will all come to that best of sacrifices. Purport. The Acharyas explain that Narada here means to say that since all the great personalities will come especially to see Lord Krishna, he should also come to that sacrifice. Text 43. O Lord, even outcasts are purified by hearing and chanting your glories and meditating upon you, the absolute truth. What then to speak of those who see and touch you? Srila Srila Swami interprets the word Brahma Mayasya to me, Brahma Ghana Murtehe, of the concentrated form of the absolute truth. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Svapajantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deven Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pastachade Satarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Pandu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Ganchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanja Galpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, it's nice to be in presence of all the devotees again every morning. I seek your blessings that I may speak something about Krishna, though I may not be qualified. If any of you, most of you, if you follow Mahabharat, we can see right after Duryodhana and the companies burned the Lakh house, the house of Lakh, then the Pandavas escape and then they go incognito for around a year or so. After that, they attend the Swayamvar ceremony of Draupadi, and after Arjuna wins Draupadi's hand, later on everyone discovered that the Pandavas were still alive. Then after that, Dhritarashtra divided the kingdom of the Kurus, his sons Kauravas and the sons of Pandavas. He sent the Pandavas to Indraprastha. There Krishna helped them build a beautiful city in Indraprastha. And now Sri Narada Muni is relating to Krishna that the Pandavas had, especially Yudhisthira Maharaj, he wants to hold the Rajasuya sacrifice. Because we can see previously what happened was a messenger came to Lord Krishna in the Sudharma Hall assembly and requested Krishna to go and save the 20,000 captive kings which Jarasandha had. Afterwards, Krishna changed the subject. Apparently, he changed the subject by inquiring about the Pandavas to Narada Muni, because Narada Muni was present there. And he inquired about the Pandavas, what was their intention. And Narada Muni told, actually, Krishna, The Pandavas wanted to perform Rajasurya sacrifice, and you please go and attend the Rajasurya sacrifice. Obviously, there's a whole arrangement behind the why Krishna asked about the Pandavas. Because in order to perform the Rajasurya sacrifice, in order to reign the whole, in order to claim to be the king of all the kings, one had to conquer every king in throughout the country. So that's why Krishna wanted the Pandavas to be used as an instrument in his service. So that's why he inquired about the Pandavas, what are their intention. Later on we'll know that how Krishna will simultaneously save the 20,000 king and at the same time he will be attending the Rajasurya sacrifice. And Krishna used Bhima and Arjuna to especially go and face Jarasandha, because Jarasandha was very, very powerful. And another factor is Jarasandha, he is not willing to surrender, he is not willing to compromise with the devotees of Krishna, because he is envious of Krishna. This is the nature of demons. The nature of demons is that they are very envious of Krishna. They are very determined. Jarasandha, when he got to know from Asti and Prapati, his daughters, that Kamsa died, that Kamsa was cruelly killed by Krishna, then he wanted to avenge the death of his son-in-law by sending so many Akshahunis, so many military people to go and kill Krishna and Balaram along with him, basically. So Krishna and Balaram, with few army, he easily defeated Jarasandha. Jarasandha, he thought, oh, he felt bad and he wanted to go renounce to the forest. But because he had bad association, because he also had bad mentality, the bad association, the ministers and so forth told him, come on, you just had a bad day today. But you must go and try. You will win. So this is the determination of demons. So Jarasandha, he fought with Krishna 17 times. 17 times he didn't give. Though he lost 17 times, still he is unwilling to surrender to Krishna. Though he saw Krishna's supremacy, Krishna's power, but he was unwilling to surrender to Krishna. This is the nature of demons. They cannot appreciate who Krishna is. That is the unfortunate condition of such degraded soul. Like in Mahabharata, if you read in Mahabharata, you know when Krishna went to make peace treaty with Duryodhana, with the Pandavas, asking him, just give 5 villages, not half the kingdom, just give 5 villages. Duryodhana said, I will not even give a land where you can drop a pin. I will not even give that much. And he got his guards, soldiers, to go and arrest Krishna. Foolish he was. And Krishna, he showed his partial universal form. And what was the response of Duryodhana? Response of Duryodhana was that, oh, Krishna is just a magician. This is the nature of demons. They can't appreciate who Krishna is. Definition of a Kshatriya, generally Kshatriya means one who gives protection to the innocent. That is the meaning of Kshatriya, Kshatrayate, one who protects the innocent. So the duty of the king is not only to provide material facility, it is also the duty of the king is to protect their spiritual well-being. Though Duryodhana and Jarasandha might have been very good kings in their kingdom, satisfying their subjects and so forth, but because he wasn't taking care of their real welfare, well-being, that's why he was not considered the rightful. He didn't claim the seat of the throne as such. He wasn't the rightful claim to be the king. Why? Because he's just saving the dress of a drowning man. Every living entity in this world are drowning in with the rebellious nature of Krishna. They want to enjoy separate from Krishna. That is the unfortunate condition of every living entity. And what are these kings doing? They're not saving the real, the soul. They're saving the body. They're just taking care of the material facility and neglecting the spiritual facility of every living entity. The root cause of it is that because they're envious of Krishna, they want to take the position of Krishna. And so if the Pandavas, headed by Yudhisthira Maharaj, had to be claimed to be the king of the kings, Raja Isha, if they had to claim to be the king of the kings, this person, Jarasandha, would not be agreeable because he's envious of Krishna. Because he's envious of Krishna, he's also envious of Krishna's devotees. And that's why Krishna wanted to use the Pandavas as an instrument to kill Jarasandha. Also previously we know how Jarasandha was fighting with Krishna and Balaram was about to kill Jarasandha. But Krishna said, no, don't. The reason is because he wanted Jarasandha to bring more military army so that he can wipe the military arrangements of the earth and clean the earth. And at the same time he wanted to give the credit to the Pandavas. This is the nature of Krishna. The nature of Krishna is that he wants to give all the credit to the devotees. And the nature of the devotees is that he wants to give all the credit to Krishna. This is the loving exchange between devotees and Krishna. Yudhisthira Maharaj, why did he want to perform this Rajasuya ceremony? Because he wanted to show the world that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everyone should worship him. He wanted to show the world. And Krishna was willing to help the Pandavas achieve this impossible task, you can say, or difficult task. And Krishna helped the Pandavas many, many times. In fact, if you read the Krishna book in the preface or introduction, Srila Prabhupada explains that the Pandavas had to fight with the Kauravas. Who are the Kauravas? And Prabhupada compared the whole battlefield of Kurukshetra like an ocean. And the Pandavas had to face big, big fishes like Timingala fish and big sharks and so forth like Bhishma and Drona. And Prabhupada explains, these Timingala fishes or Bhishma, Drona, Karna, they can kill hundreds of Arjunas. They can kill hundreds of Arjunas, no problem. But how was it possible that the Pandavas were victorious? Because Krishna helped them. Similarly here, Krishna wants to help the Pandavas achieve the unrivaled kingdom and give the full credit, full mercy on the Pandavas. On the other hand, we know later on when Krishna does make to he comes to the Rajasuya ceremony after killing Jarasandha and conquering, and the Pandavas conquered the world, then when Krishna arrives in the Rajasuya ceremony, then the Pandavas were discussing who should be the chief guest of the assembly. And some personalities said, oh, it should be Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma, he is the creator of the universe. He is the Pitamaha, he is the grandfather of the universe. So that's why he should claim the chief guest honor. And some other people said, no, no, Lord Shiva should claim the honor, because he is very, very powerful. And some said, no, Indra should. And others said, actually, Bhishma should be the chief guest. Like this, everyone were giving their own suggestions. They're saying Vyasadeva, Devala, Narada and so forth. But the youngest brother, Sahadev, said, no, it should be Krishna. He should be the chief honor. And Yudhisthira Maharaj said, yes, his proposal is the best. Because Yudhisthira Maharaj didn't want to say that, because he didn't want to bring any conflict. If he says, then it might be some conflict. If some other people say, then people will agree. Yudhisthira Maharaj had the desire to have Krishna as the chief guest of the assembly. And when Sahadev said, Krishna should be the chief guest, everyone agreed, except for few people, like Shishupal, Duryodhana, and the company. So this is what Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to do. He wanted to give full credit to Krishna, though he has all the riches, but he wants to give full credit to Krishna. This is the nature of devotees. The nature of devotees is that he wants to give credit to Krishna. He doesn't want to take any credit. He doesn't want to claim any credit. Nowadays we have big scientists. They want to claim credit for anything they do. Anything small they do, they want to claim credit. Srila Prabhupada, he was on a morning walk and the disciples were saying, "Look, Prabhupada, Swamiji, you know, the scientists have created a new fruit." And Prabhupada said, "What is the fruit?" He said, "Nectarine." "Oh, really? How did they create the nectarine?" And the disciples said, "Well, they had with the combination of peach and plum, they created nectarine." And Prabhupada said, "Who created the peaches? And who created the plums? Why don't you give credit to the person who created hundreds of plums and peaches? Why only to the person who gives nectarine?" And the disciples said, "Well, Prabhupada, you should understand, they have also created water. They have created ounces of water in the test tubes." And Prabhupada said, "Krishna has created an ocean of water. Why are you giving credit to the scientists just for creating an ounce of water?" Prabhupada said, "You can only take one credit. The credit is that you're the urine maker. That you produce urine, that's it." So the devotees want to give full credit to Krishna. And his Srila Prabhupada, obviously, he was able to establish so many temples and produce so many devotees, but he didn't take even one single credit. In fact, called two times, the reporters asked Srila Prabhupada about his achievement, and Prabhupada once said, "Oh, it is by the mercy of my spiritual master. The credit goes to him." Another time, Prabhupada's humility was that Prabhupada said, "Actually, I'm an old man. What can I do? I can't do anything. But it is my disciples who have done it." This is the humility of Srila Prabhupada. He didn't take any credit for himself. He gave credit to Krishna and Krishna's devotees. This is the nature of devotees, that he wants to give all the credit to Krishna. And because Krishna is very touched by the devotee's reciprocation, he wants to reciprocate even further, more. So Krishna, he wants to make Yudhishthira Maharaj the king of all the kings. Though he could easily defeat everyone. But Krishna is not hungry for power. Krishna wants to be a humble servant. He wants to be a devotee of his devotee. He's not hungry for power. This is real leadership, we call. Leadership is that one who is very humble. He wants to give credit to Krishna, Krishna's devotee. And you can see Krishna, though he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but, you know, he gave full credit to the Pandavas. And he made sure that Pandavas win the battle of Kurukshetra, which was impossible to win, but it was easily possible for Krishna to make sure that the Pandavas win the kingdom. We know that devotees by nature, they have everything. They don't need anything. It's explained in the six limbs of devotional service. In Nectar of Devotion, it's explained now. Kleshagni subada moksha lagutta krit sudhurlava sandrananda visheshatma shri krishna kashati kashata. In sadhana bhakti, when one goes through the sadhana bhakti, one can achieve two of the limbs. Kleshagni, that one's sinful desires goes away, or in other words, also suffering goes away. The root cause of suffering is sinful desires. So one suffering goes away. And another symptom of it, of sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, or regulated process of devotional service, which does waking up from Mangal Arati, chanting, performing deity worship, preaching, so forth, is that it brings all auspiciousness to one. It brings all auspiciousness. Good fortune. And then the next two level of symptoms is Sandarananda Vishwa. And that devotional service, at that point when a person comes in bhava stage or preliminary stage of prema or pure love for Krishna, one can experience the rarity or the great fortune they are experiencing. The rarity. Not many people can come to that level of bhava, that they experience symptoms of love for Krishna, preliminary symptoms. Sometimes tears might come, sometimes they are able to see Krishna, but not always, because it's just beginning. And another one, another symptom of that is moksha, or the liberation, comes folding her hand, asking the devotee, "Oh devotee, please come and take your liberation." What to speak of bhukti or material enjoyment that naturally comes. In fact, the bhukti and mukti, or the liberation and material opulence, are an obstacle to devotional service. But when one comes to the pure loving, one comes to that high stage of devotional service, then that bhukti and mukti bows their head and ask the devotee to step over them and go to Krishna. So for a devotee, they don't require any opulence, especially Yudhisthira Maharaj. He doesn't require it because he has all the opulence. He has everything. In fact, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his pastimes in Navadvip, Sridhar Mayapur, then he would go to the house of Srivast Thakur regularly to perform his kirtan with intimate associates of devotees. One time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Srivast Thakur, "How do you support your family? How do you support your wife and children? I don't see you going and working. I just see you chanting Hare Krishna. Always chanting Hare Krishna. What is this? How can you support? I can't understand." And Srivast Thakur responded to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya was thinking, what are you saying? How do you support your family? Are you answering my question? How do you support your family? Srivast Thakur again. And Chaitanya said, And then Srivast Thakur explained that by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, being fully immersed in devotional service, naturally everything is taken care of. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very touched by Srivast Thakur's, you can say, faith in Krishna and faith in the process of devotional service. That Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Srivast Thakur that even if Goddess of Fortune has to go with a bowl to beg alms, you will not have any problem to support your family because of your unflinching faith in Krishna. This is the nature of devotee. Devotees, they don't require anything because they have everything. Why? Why do they have everything? Because they have Krishna. If you have Krishna, you have everything. That's why Lord Brahma explains that in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma explains that for a devotee, when he constantly thinks of Krishna, then later on when he passes away, then the kingdom of God or kingdom of Krishna becomes his rightful claim. Just like a child, when he is very obedient to his father, and when he is very pleasing to his father, and when his father passes away, he passes on his inheritance to the child. Similarly, for devotees, Krishna gives them his spiritual wealth. This is the nature of Krishna. So devotees want to give full credit to Krishna, and Krishna wants to give full credit to devotees. Devotees do not desire anything other than serving Krishna. Krishna doesn't desire anything other than serving his devotees. We can see that the highest of all devotees is Srimati Radharani. Radharani is explained to be the topmost devotee because of her intense surrender to Krishna, because of her intense love for Krishna. So Krishna wanted to understand what is the love of that of Srimati Radharani that she is experiencing. And in order to appreciate Srimati Radharani's love, Sri Krishna took the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. the mood of Srimati Radharani. In fact, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed, that Radha Krishna's service to Radha Krishna is the highest service. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, though he was Krishna himself, experienced greatest bliss by serving Radha and Krishna. Though he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he took the nature of a devotee. He wanted to serve the devotees. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is a full description of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching how to serve devotees. And we know later on when Chandkazi broke the Mridanga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the streets of Navadvip and with hundreds and hundreds and thousands of devotees, they were all chanting congregationally the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then later on, he was able to convince Chandkazi and he was able to change the heart of Chandkazi. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to go to the house of Kolavecha Sridhar, his very dear devotee. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the house of Kolavecha Sridhar, he was very thirsty. So he found a very, very dented, rusty, old lota or cup in the corner of Kolavecha Sridhar's house. Kolavecha Sridhar, he would use this cup for all different purposes. So many different purposes. Drinking, cooking, and washing. So many different purposes. Washing his mouth. He was such a... Though externally he was poor, but he was rich in his heart. Because he had Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw that lota, or the cup of Kolavecha Sridhar, in order to quench his thirst, the husband of the goddess of fortune, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, took that cup and drank the water, which was regularly, every day, was used by Kolavecha Sridhar. And Kolavecha Sridhar said, "Now I'm gone to hell. How could you do this? Should not have done this." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I have not tasted water as sweet as this one in your lota. I'm really, really satisfied by drinking the water." So we can see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu aspired to serve his devotee and give credit to his devotee. Krishna himself wanted to give full credit to his devotee. Devotees in return, they want to offer, because of Krishna's kindness, they are eternally indebted to Krishna, so devotees are always eager to please Krishna the most. And obviously Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that he explains that there is no one more dear to me than one who preaches my glories to others. So devotees take the risk for Krishna by spreading the glories of Krishna far and wide, everywhere. This is how devotees offer their respects and gratitude, and at the same time give credit to Krishna by preaching the glories of Krishna, teaching the glories of Krishna to everyone. The marathon is coming very soon, so we can show our gratitude to Krishna by giving full credit to Krishna, by spreading Krishna's glories far and wide to everyone. In fact, this is most pleasing to Krishna, and not only Krishna, to his devotees also. Srila Prabhupada, he is most satisfied to see that his books are distributed and the glories of Krishna are distributed far and wide. In fact, Prabhupada proved just by books, within 10 years, he was able to make 108 temples and maintain so many temples just by books. So what is the difficulty? Maintaining as one temple, this Melbourne temple, by books, that's no difficulty. If you are eager, you can. And at the same time, through books, he had created so many devotees. So many devotees flourished just by Prabhupada's books. Because the essence is there. That the essence is that you want to give Krishna to others. That is the essence. You want to glorify Krishna. You want to show Krishna's supremacy. Just like Yudhisthira Maharaj, he wants to show Krishna's supremacy by selecting Krishna as the chief honored guest in Rajasoya ceremony. So devotees want to glorify Krishna, show Krishna supremacy, and change the living entity's heart, and re-establish their lost relationship with Krishna, and achieve love of Godhead. This is the desire of devotees. And we should try to endeavor for it. That's why we have a community of devotees. The community of devotees is built such a way that devotees enthuse others in their Krishna consciousness and helping others in Krishna consciousness. This is the purpose of community. And purpose of community is that they serve together to please Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. By such wonderful strong association, you can simultaneously bring more people in such wonderful association. So it's a combination, preaching and caring for devotees, association, the loving exchange between devotees. So it's a continuous, and by doing so, you bring Krishna in the center of everyone's life. By bringing Krishna in the center of everyone's life, then everyone's life is perfected. Just like Yudhisthira Maharaj, his central life was Krishna. Arjuna's life was dedicated to Krishna. Earlier Arjuna said, I don't want unrivaled kingdom. I don't want even heavenly planets. I'm ready to go to the forest and do tapasya. I'm ready to renounce everything. I don't want to fight. But because Arjuna had that submissive attitude, he said, Krishna, I don't really know what I'm speaking. I'm really confused. Please, I want you to be my guru. I want you to be my spiritual master. Arjuna thought that by giving up the kingdom, that would be good for him. But he thought, actually, as a Kshatriya, I must fight. So I'm confused. I don't know. I don't want to kill my grandfather, Bhishma, Drona. But at the same time, I have to fight. I'm really confused. Krishna, you please be my guru. So Krishna explained to Arjuna, and Arjuna listened to Krishna. Krishna said, if you want, I can explain the same knowledge to you again. Now it's up to you. You can carry out my instruction or you can give it up. It's up to you. That is your choice. Every living entity has that choice, whether you want to accept Krishna or not accept Krishna. But Arjuna's decision was that he wanted to centralize his life according to Krishna's instruction. By centering his life according to Krishna's instruction, he perfected himself. That's why he's considered a great devotee. That's why he's also considered a very dear friend of Krishna. Generally, just last thing, Krishna, he is also known as Suhrit, or one who is very dear friend of every living entity. In Sanskrit, like in English, you don't have different gradation of friendship. Maybe you can say friend, intimate friend, and very, very dear friend. You can say something like that. But in Sanskrit, you have bandhu, there is mitra, there is suhrit, as such. Mitra is very official friendship, and bandhu can be, you know, social friendship. But suhrit means very dear friend, one who touches your heart. And that is what Krishna is. Krishna is dear friend of every living entity. But if we come in contact with our very dear friend Krishna, then obviously everything is perfected. Then you know how to put the whole world in proper perspective, in centralizing to Krishna. Just thank you very much.